little more in a couple places tonight. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. In this chapter, Paul is talking about all the incredible revelations and prophecies and things that he saw so much that he can't even talk about some of them, such incredible things that he had seen. 2 Corinthians 12, in verse 1, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. He's saying, I met somebody, I don't really know if they were human, I don't know if I saw them in the flesh or if I was in the spirit somehow. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. And how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there is given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are blessed just to read that passage. It's a great passage, and your word's amazing. We thank you for it. We give you the glory for the word of God. Thank you for speaking to us with the word. Thank you for the opportunity to study it. Thank you for every person who took time and took the effort and made it to church. And I pray tonight, Lord, that great things would happen. And I pray that your spirit would speak. And I pray that as we just tag along a little bit with what we've been talking about on Sundays mornings, that you would give us your kind of thinking. Bless the service. We need you. We look to you, not to man's ability to understand these truths. And Lord, help us to think the right way and change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul saw amazing things. He said, I met a man, and I don't know if it was in the body or in the spirit, but we talked about the third heaven, and I saw things that were they were just too amazing to talk about, and this man is something I might glory in. He doesn't know if it's a physical man or a spiritual man, and it's something so amazing it's hard for him to describe and talk about, and he doesn't know if it's in the body or spirit, and he says, that's the kind of thing I want to glory in. I don't want to glory like the Corinthian church and how many gifts I have or how much people think of me. That's not what I'm going to glory in. If I'm going to glory, I'll glory in meeting with that person. And he says, I will also glory, if I'm going to glory, I'll glory in my infirmities. Hey, I have this burden. I have this trouble. I have this pain. That's not what we do. I know there's a few people like that who make up pain just because they want to be in pain all the time and they want everybody to feel sorry for them. Oh, my leg! And then all of a sudden they see a dog and they start running like an Olympian. And but we have people like that. I don't understand it. But Paul says, I'll glory in the troubles that I have and the battles I face because I'm serving God. And I'm a glory in those things. And I'll glory in this thing that is not likely to be seen. Paul talks about what it did for him. If I could have Tiffany go start preparing wherever you are, Tiffany and Brooke. Timmy, you might need Timmy to get you an extension cord. Get your extension cord there and plug it in right inside the office vision there and let it run out to the table there. Don't need a super long one, just long enough to get there. So, we see Paul says, lest I should be exalted too much because I've been given so many revelations, and lest everybody should say, man, Paul is so unbelievable. Paul has so many things. And I would glory because so much wisdom and so much truth has been given to me. I was given a thorn in the flesh, he calls it. We don't know what it is. People conjecture on what it is. We don't know. God did not tell us on purpose. There was a whole bunch of guesses. Paul just calls it a thorn in the flesh. And I don't think it was literally a thorn in his flesh. He could have gotten that rid of that. Okay? But he says a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. Now, the word buffet means to pound. Just punch, 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 punch. And he says, Satan was given permission, and Satan sent a messenger, and it was a thorn in my flesh. And it bothered me so bad that three different times I said, Lord, you've got to deliver me from this, Lord. And Paul could raise people from the dead. Paul healed all kinds of things. But God answered him and said, no, I'm gonna leave this with you, and you're going to have that. And so he left that. Paul's finished product, when God was done with him, he talks about it. If you look down and verse 9, he says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So Paul has some ingredients to this situation in his life to make him not glory and to make him something. The finished product, when he is done, is the power of Christ. You're way too ADD to do this, aren't you? And there's shiny objects. That's the worst. There's no hope when there's shiny objects. And pretty girls and shiny objects make tough preaching. And so you're fine. Just keep on going. I am okay with this. And if they are staring at you, then I don't know why they stare at you instead of me, but anyway, we see Paul has a couple finished products. What are his finished products? The power of Christ, grace sufficient, the strength of God. My strength is made perfect in weakness, the perfect strength of God. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The power of God upon him, that the power, at the end of verse 9, of Christ may rest upon me. That's a finished product. What did it take to get that? Well, we got a list. A thorn in the flesh. We don't know if it's a physical problem, emotional problem, a mental problem. We don't know. It sounds like it's something physical because of the thorn in the flesh. Maybe maybe some disease. Who knows? But he says, I have a thorn in the flesh. I have a messenger of Satan. That's also an ingredient. And I also have a no from God. God told me no. He's not going to heal me. I've got Satan buffeting me, pounding me. Boom. Don't you hate this? Doesn't this hurt? Doesn't this bother you? Have you ever had something that just wears on you like that? So those are the ingredients. A thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, buffeting, and all these things are happening. The result is the power of Christ. So the result is great. How would you like to have the power of Christ rest upon you? That's pretty good. How would you like to have God's strength made perfect in your life? That's good stuff. What did it take to get there? Thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan, a no in a prayer request, and suffering. So we're illustrating this a little bit to you. You guys can just continue on here. So we are going to make something tonight. And the first ingredient is flour. That's the first ingredient. Anybody want to bite a flower? Anybody? Free? That's what you... If we want what we want tonight to eat, and if it's going to be good, the recipe calls for flour. The flour is not very yummy. Is it? Anybody want to eat some flour? It's not very good when you just have flour. That doesn't taste real good. Go ahead. You're counting? I hope you're counting. The good thing is, God never makes you go through the ingredients twice because he remembers what he gave you. And God is very good at that. The ingredients don't taste very good. A thorn in the flesh, Paul wouldn't have asked for that. He asked for it to be removed. A messenger of Satan, that doesn't sound good. Just a reminder, the messenger of Satan just comes and pounds on you. Do you know this? You're hurting still. A pounding and a pounding and a pounding and a pounding. God's saying, no, I'm not going to answer that. I'm going to keep you from being exalted above measure. It's not very good. It doesn't feel very good. The ingredients are not very good by themselves. Joseph. Let's look at Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Let's see what Joseph's final recipe is. Genesis and chapter 50. And verse 19 and 20. And Joseph said to them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. That's pretty good. Joseph's finished product, what he had at the end, what he got to eat is God saving many people alive. His family was able to survive. He was able to gain blessing and the hand of God upon him. He was able to become the number one person in the land. He was able to go and get a great blessing from his dad when some of the blessings on his brothers weren't so good. And his family was blessed because of it. He got to go and have victory. He got to go and have his brothers bow down to him. And his brothers who mistreated him, hurt him, all see them squirm. That's kind of fun to watch your brother squirm, amen? And he got to see that. That's good. I like that. I want to eat that. What were the ingredients to get Joseph to that spot? What were his ingredients? Well, let's see. Joseph, well, jealous brothers, be thrown into a pit, be sold into slavery. Can you imagine just walking as a slave? His brothers sold. Can you imagine your brothers sell you and you start walking behind a train of people going down to Egypt, and it might have took them weeks, maybe a month, just walking with a bunch of other slaves with chains around you thinking, my brothers just sold me and they got money for me. And walking. You go down there and then he is sold on an auction block. Mix that in there, a little bit of that. And then, what happens? Well, he gets sold to a man named Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife tries to commit adultery with him, and he gets falsely accused. After being falsely accused, where he did the right thing and was still falsely accused, what happens? He gets put in jail. Well, then he's in jail, and he helps some people, and after he's in jail and helps some people, what happens? The people who he helped forgot about him. You ever help somebody and think they're going to help you out and return the favor and they forget you? And what happens? He gets forgotten in jail and he's sitting down there as a prisoner. Boy, those aren't very good ingredients. Sold to slavery, jealous brothers who hate you, being sold into slavery, being thrown into a pit, being taken down to Egypt, being sold as a slave, being falsely accused when you did the right thing, being put into jail, being mistreated, being forgotten, and all those things. What does it equal? A pretty good meal. You get victory, you save many people alive, and you get to do all these things. And we see that these are part of the ingredients. Job chapter 23. Job looks at what's going to happen at the end, and he thinks a little differently than us. Job 23. Watch the ingredients to Job and what he's facing. Job 23, verse 8. This is the middle of his sorrow, the middle of his friends criticizing him, the middle of having lost his whole family and his health and everything else. What does he say? Behold, I go forward and he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, and I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What's the end of this thing? Job comes forth as gold. Well, we got some more ingredients here. Eggs. How many eggs we got here? All right, good. All right, anybody want a little bit of egg? Egg? That's nasty. I don't want to eat an egg. What are you making for us, Pastor? Anybody want a bite? It's not very good by itself, is it? It's pretty yucky. What else we have? Well, salt. Who wants a whole mouthful of salt? Anybody? Baking powder. I don't read instructions very well, and I was somewhere cooking something one time, and I thought it was baking soda, and I put baking powder. I did something wrong. When I got done, it wasn't good, whatever it was. I don't know. If you ask me, what's the difference between baking powder and baking soda? I would say one is in a yellow box. And that would be about the extent of my knowledge of the difference between baking powder. I couldn't tell you. Thank God I'm married or I'd be dead. And would I, anybody want to eat some baking powder? It's going to be in this.
Oh, I thought you said bacon powder.
No. Bacon powder. It's all right. Baking powder. Double acting. Whatever that means. Baking powder. Says no sodium aluminum phosphate, and that isn't very good, is it? That isn't too yummy, is it? See, we're still cooking, we're still mixing these things, and we're still going along, and so far we've got oil, and we want a drink. It's canola oil. They get that from canola animals, and or maybe a canola well somewhere in the ground. And no, I'm not that dumb. I'm kidding. Salt. Pretty icky. Baking soda. Milk's okay. Sugar, I'm not going to ask because I have teenagers here and they'll just... What else we got? I see butter over here.
There's flour in the closet.
Flour. We had flour. This is yucky stuff. Pretty nasty. And all these things, you say, I don't want to eat any flour. I don't want to eat any baking soda? Powder. I don't eat any baking powder. I don't want, anybody want a bite of butter? We can deep fry it if you like. Anybody want a bite of butter? Anybody want a mouthful of salt? This is nasty. Eggs? Who wants to eat an egg? It's all pretty gross, isn't it? Keep cooking. Waiting for the butter melt. All right. Butter's in there. Anybody want to drink a butter? It's not very good and it's by itself. Job, what's your ingredient to come forth as gold? Being tried. The heat being poured on me. Troubles. Rejection. Friends criticizing me. Family deaths. But when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. I like the food at the end. The recipe might not be so good. Let me take you to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. If you've been in our 10 o'clock lessons the last 3 weeks of the year, we taught on these next few verses, and these verses are not the way we think. It's going to give you a recipe that's not a lot of fun, but the product at the end of the recipe is delicious. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. We love this ingredient. We glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What is the final product? What are we going to get to eat if we get these ingredients? Well, we'll get to eat patience. You'll be a person who can endure cheerfully, which is what the word patience literally means, enduring cheerfully. You'll have hard times come, and you'll say, this is no big deal. My God's still in control. I can handle this. You'll get the red light, and you'll say, it's okay. Amen? Maybe. You'll get troubles in your life, and you'll say, I'm going to be able to handle that. Tribulation works experience and patience. And I'm going to get patience, I'm going to get experience, and I'm going to have hope. Looking forward to something, a joyful looking forward to something, and excited about what's coming in the future. And you, in the end, come forth when your future problems come. You say, wow, that's a big trouble. Man, I didn't want that. Man, that was troublesome. But it's okay. I'll be fine. I can handle this. Because God has shown me that I can be okay and everything will go fine in the future. And the world is still going to come. The sun will still rise and my God's still in control. And I'm able to handle this. And I'm going to be okay. And tribulation works patience. And patience experience and experience hope. If you want that peace and that ability to handle the troubles without panicking, freaking out, getting angry, quitting, you need patience. And hope. You get that? Through tribulation. So we glory in tribulation. We say we're excited because we have tribulation. We're thankful because you know why? We're glorying in tribulation because this ingredient is going to make this food, and I love this food. I love this food. James chapter 1, similar verse. James chapter 1 and verse 2 says this, my brethren, James chapter 1, I want for you to get there. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work. You may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Tribulation brings patience. And tribulation makes it so you can handle things in the future. But if you do not let those ingredients be a part of your recipe of life, the ingredients that God puts into your life, then you do not get the things later in life that you say, I'm okay in life. I am blessed. I am doing well. Why? You didn't let God put the ingredients that you thought were yucky at the time. You didn't let them come into your life. This morning, my wife got a strange text, and it was something from my sister, and we didn't understand it at all. My wife said, what does this mean? I said, I only better call her. And mom's not feeling too well and something else. And just coming right, probably 9:45, right before Sunday school, find out that my mom may have had a stroke. Now, my mom's been very healthy, and I just saw her on Tuesday. And, of course, I love my mom. What did you do, Pastor? Are you gonna freak out? No. No. Most of you never knew. Nobody knew anything was wrong. Why? Because I've gotten some patience over time with some tribulations. When God wanted to throw some at me, I said, ugh, yucky. Don't want that. And then I ate it. And I didn't run from the will of God. And I didn't like it sometimes. I didn't like it. But my life started off young and tough and hard. And I had a troubled family and troubled things in my life and troubled battles and a troubled home and divorce in my family and abuse in my family and drugs in my family and alcohol in my family and abandonment and every single thing. All that got thrown into the pot. And I said, this is nasty. But then God started blending it all together. And now, a few years later, I realize it's okay. And I realize it's made me into something. I wish I was more. I wish I was better. But I realize I am what I am because God threw some ingredients that I thought at the time were kind of nasty. You ever get a bad ingredient thrown into your life? You ever get things you say, why? Now, I know, sometimes you make bad ingredients. We do, don't we, sometimes? And don't, please, don't say, why did God do this to me when you did it? That is insanity. You drive drunk and say, why did God let me get an accident? God did not. You did it. Don't blame God. Okay? But sometimes you're doing the right things, and you're just living life, and all of a sudden some ingredients, you say, yuck, that didn't taste good. But you know what? God's adding ingredients. And those ingredients, one at a time, aren't very good. And the ingredients take forever to mix together sometimes in your life. And sometimes you say, I don't like the taste of this. Sometimes you don't, I don't like this. Sometimes you say, this isn't fun. But it's part of the deal. It's part of what makes you. And I've got some ingredients that I still need to go through to make me what I need to be. But don't get upset. Let me take you to Romans 8 and show you how God does this, because God's so wise. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. This is one of the greatest passages on the sovereignty of God. When I say the sovereignty of God, I mean God, God sees everything and God chooses many things. God sees the future. God sees the whole picture. God knows what's going to happen in the future and God can work everything and make a plan. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 26, it says this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Let me stop there for a sec. What's a great example of a person who didn't know what to pray for? Paul. He prayed for healing. God said, no, that's not good for you. I know you want to be healed. But you know what? You need this thorn in the flesh. It's going to make you weak. And that weakness is going to make you strong. And so Paul prayed what seemed like a good prayer. Lord, I had this thorn in the flesh. I want this to go away. I'm tired of bearing this. And God said, no, Paul, that's a bad thing. Aren't you glad that God filters our prayer? And he doesn't give you everything you ask for because you think this is what you need. And Paul, he says, I need to go on mission trips. I need to go start churches. I need to visit churches. I need to be used. And I need to be strong and healthy. And God said, no, you don't. That's not at all what you need. You need an infirmity. Paul didn't know. It seemed like the right prayer. But listen, do not think that it was bad for him to pray that. That is such a key to prayer. I want to say this. Say and ask for what's everything you desire in prayer. The Bible says ask. It is not wrong for Paul to ask for that. Paul didn't know what to pray for. God knows that. And so in Romans 8 here, he says this. It says, likewise, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What does it say? God says, I know you don't know what to pray for, so I'm going to go ahead and interpret your prayers and make sure you don't pray for the wrong thing. That is the greatest news. You know why it's such a great news? Because you can't make a mistake when you pray. God says, let me just go ahead and ask for what you need. You say, I want to get married. Then pray about it. I want $1 million. Then pray for it in tithe. And I want, but you go and you say, I want this thing. God is for that. God is good with that. God says, you know what? If you make the wrong prayer, I know, and God doesn't say this, but God says, I know how dumb you are. I know how much you don't know. I know how much you don't understand, and I'm going to do that because I know what's best. Now watch this, continuing the sovereignty, verse 27. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And verse 28, we all know. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Here's what it says. So God knows, this is where Calvinists get it wrong. God foreknows. He knows the decisions you're going to make. He knows your future. And since he foreknows you're going to say yes, he knows you're going to accept Jesus, he goes ahead and starts working sovereignty out in your life and making the plans for your life and working all of these things out. And he knows what choices you're going to make. So he makes a plan for your life. So he sends you the things that are maybe look like bad ingredients, but it says he is going to finish the process. He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In this verse, it says, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be like Jesus. Then he says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. So God works the whole process out for you, and he sees the future, and he works it all out, and he gets everything out. But in that process of finishing you as a finished product to be like Jesus and to be growing, he throws in the ingredients. He interprets your prayers. When you want something that maybe not as good for you, your prayer is for this food. I just want a finished caramel. God says, no, I'm going to give you some cocoa. And later I'm going to send you this. And later I'm going to send you this. And God starts working these things together. That, when God gives you all those ingredients, is the blender of God. And you've got these ingredients, and God is blending these things to work all things together for good for you. And so we have here pancakes. You say, I don't want to eat those because it's egg and it's baking powder and it's flour and it's salt and it's nasty stuff. It doesn't look very good. Well, pancakes are good. Amen. Who wants a pancake? Oh, good. Let's see, where's Timmy? I need somebody to go get some plates. All right, Timmy, go get some plates there. We're going to see if all those nasty ingredients, I think I should poison check that, as a matter of fact. And I think these are the first ones. We're still experimenting. And so those ones, we got extra fluffy, runny pancakes to start off with. But listen. Well, they might not be able to cook, but they're pretty. Oh, am I ever in trouble tonight? And Dad! And we make these things that taste pretty good, but it sure wasn't a bunch of good ingredients. But all things, all ingredients, work together for good to them who love God. To them, they're called according to his purpose. And you know what? If you'll let God out of those ingredients, you say, ooh, that hurt. Ooh, I didn't like that. A layoff? Oh, not my car breaking down. Ooh, not now. Oh, no, this thing. Why these physical problems? Why is my body having these problems? Why this relative causing these problems? Why this emotional problems? Why my children having this happen in life? We don't know very much. We just keep getting ingredients dropped down into our bucket of life. And all things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, you will never get an ingredient added to your life if you're loving the Lord and serving him that is not going to work together for your good. Amen? And in the end, it tastes pretty good, even though individually, the ingredients are gross. And some people go, ooh, egg is nasty. I can't take it. Yuck, I hate God. He was mean to me. And other people say, let's just put it. Well, I don't know why God did this. Lord, I pray you wouldn't give me these ingredients. And God says, no, you need that to make this. And you learn to trust God, and you learn to let God do these things, and you learn to let God work all things together. We got one ready yet? Yeah. All right, good. Who's first? All right, Alex, go get a plate. Where's the syrup? Timmy, go get the syrup. We'll just start handing them out. Take a plate, Alex. I don't know. Timmy went and got them. There we go. It's only plates we got. Stay there. I'm watching you guys. I'm watching the boys over here. I don't want to know about those guys. They already ate dinner, but they're young ones. They eat mini dinners. Listen. You can. You want? We're waiting. You want some syrup? Okay. There we go. Syrup is heaven when you get there, and the good stuff out at the end. And where we have it. Tiffany, you said we have syrup, right?
Yeah, I can go make sure.
All right, good. So all I want to say is this. All these things, and some things that have happened in your life, you might get bitter about. You might say, I don't like that happen. I wish that didn't work out that way. And some we do ourselves, but many things, it's just God's recipe. Alex, here's your syrup. How is it taste? Have you tried it yet? We're going to see if it worked together for good. Alex, our taste tester.
No pleasure, right?
We're not answering that question. Who's next? Okay, Helen, come on up. Now, Alex, you want to go back and eat the ingredients? Want some oil? Drink oil? You're good at that, huh? That's normal. God works all things together for good. The ingredients might not be yummy. Amen? So trust the Lord and wait till it's finished. And Paul said, hey, I'll take all these nasty ingredients because it gives me the power of Christ. And his strength is made perfect in weakness. And it's okay. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Thank you for showing us that you work all things together for good. We know that you know what's best, but sometimes we think that the ingredients aren't very good. We pray we trust you and realize it's not the individual ingredient, it's what works together. And I pray to work things together in our life and help us to be thankful. Thank you for what you do for us, Lord. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed, just briefly.